The past several weeks on Sunday nights, we have been studying a series of lessons entitled Getting a Grasp on the Bible. We used as our lesson text 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, which says, "All Scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." In this series of lessons, you remember we used the illustration of the hand. We allowed every finger to represent an action in the matter of getting a grasp on the Bible. We first of all discussed the matter of hearing the Word of God. Then we talked about reading the Bible. The next lesson we discussed studying the Bible. And the last time we discussed this topic, it was on the subject of memorizing Scripture and how it helps us to get a grasp on the Bible. There remains, after tonight, two more subjects. Tonight we'll talk about meditate, or one more, actually, after tonight. Apply will be the last one. Tonight we're going to talk about meditation, how to meditate on God's Word and the benefits of that. The question probably needs to be answered, what is meditation? I think there's a lot of misunderstanding on the part of some people as to what meditation is. Meditation, first I suppose we could look at some things that it's not. It's not some kind of mystic experience. It's not some kind of mysterious thing, some spell that comes over you after you get into an impossible bodily position with the bottoms of your feet turned upside down in your lap, you know, the way you've seen people use some of the yoga positions, I think they call them, and holding their hand, doing something with their hands. I'm not sure quite exactly what it is, and they make a sort of a humming noise. If you're into yoga, you'll forgive me, I'm sure, for not being able to discuss this very well, but there's nothing mystic, there's nothing mysterious about meditation. It doesn't have anything to do with something like that. Meditation on God's Word is not something that is only possible for people who have obtained a certain spiritual level. There may be some who are under the impression that you have to reach a certain plane of spiritual ability, or certain level of spiritual experience, or a certain number of years in being a child of God before you can properly meditate on Scripture. That's not true. In fact, I think it would be safe to say that there really are no prerequisites other than having access to the Word. The only prerequisite to meditating on the Word of God is to have access to the Word of God, either through hearing it or reading it or memorizing it. So the question needs to be answered then, what is meditation? And I suppose the simplest answer to that question that I've ever found is that meditation is focused thinking. It is focused thinking that has a purpose. The purpose is not just pondering Scripture in order to feel the vibes from it, as some people have described it, but it's focused thinking in order to see how I can better apply the truths of God's Word to my life. It's interesting that the word for meditation is a word that is very similar to the word rumination. Rumination is the process that describes what a cow does to its food. It eats the grass, swallows it, but it regurgitates it and chews it again. We call that the cud. Swallows it, regurgitates it again about seven times before all of the nutrients are extracted out of that. You know, it's not a very pleasant thought, I'll admit, unless you depend on cows for part of your livelihood like I do. And it's a time-honored process that God invented, so I don't see anything wrong with it. But rumination is a word which is very similar to the root word for meditation. And it means literally the same thing, to bring it back up again and again and to try to get every possible shred of benefit out of it through the process of thinking on it and going over it. And so, tonight we're going to look at the subject of meditation. I've heard people say a lot of times, well, you know, I just don't have the ability to meditate on the Bible. Meditation is something that's so hard for me to do. I really don't understand how to do it. Let me ask you something. How many people in here possess, I want a show of hands, how many people possess the ability to worry? Any worriers in? Yeah, plenty of worriers here. In fact, I would dare say that most of us are really good at it. We've had a lot of practice. We do it quite a bit. Worrying. You know what worrying is? Worrying is negative meditation. Meditation is positive worry. When you worry about something, you let it go through your mind again and again. You lie awake at night thinking about it and trying to see it from every possible angle and understand all of the little facets of it. It stays with you and just goes through your system, and before long, you know, you've got an upset stomach or you've got a terrible headache, and it's because you're worried about something. But really, worry is a process through which we bring something through our minds again and again and again. Meditation is the same, except in a positive sense. To bring God's Word through the thought process and through our mind again and again in order to see it from every possible way or angle. Negative meditation is worry. Positive worry is meditation. Well, why should we meditate? Let's look at three answers to that question, and then very quickly we'll look at how to meditate and we'll be finished. But I want to suggest three very simple reasons why we should meditate on the Scriptures. Number one, meditation is a key to becoming like Christ. In Proverbs chapter 3, or chapter 4, verse 23, the wise man said, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring forth the issues of life." Out of it come forth the issues of life. In other words, what you think about, according to the inspired writer of Proverbs, according to him, what you think about is what you will most likely become. The things that are in your heart, the matter of your thoughts, those things that you hold dear, those things that you hold close, those are the most influential things to what you will be. If you're the kind of person who meditates on corruption, if you're the kind of person who has a heart that's filled with vile, wicked thoughts, we all understand the matter, and it's a very simple matter, that it won't be long before that kind of thought process will lead us into a behavioral pattern that follows in that same trail. To think about and to meditate upon God's Word, upon Christ, is one of the very best ways to become like Christ. As Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Not only in Proverbs 4:23, we also find in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul says, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." There is a change process that takes place in the life of an individual who obeys the Lord. The change is both immediate in a sense, and it's also long-term and graduated. That long-term process change is something that depends upon the renewal of the mind. The renewal of the mind is something that is helped along the way by or with the matter of meditation upon God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "As we contemplate the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into His likeness." As we behold His glory, Paul said, as we meditate upon Jesus and upon His glory and upon all of those good things that are about Him, we become more and more like Him. Meditation is a key to becoming like Christ. Secondly, let me suggest to you that meditation is a key to answered prayer. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." I hope you'll notice that there He gives answered prayer as conditional. The answer to prayer is based on the condition, Jesus said, of abiding in me and my words abiding in you. Well, some people say, how does that work? The more you know Christ, the more you think about Christ and meditate on His will, the more you begin to think like Him or to think like He wants you to think. And if I'm thinking like Christ wants me to think, I'm far more likely to pray for those things that are in keeping with His will. My prayers and those things that I pray for will be more directed into the realm that is pleasing to the Lord. And therefore, when I pray in accordance with His will, I receive what I pray for. One of the best ways to confine my prayers to the will of God is to meditate upon the will of God, to become more familiar with it, to run it through my mind, to let it live in my heart. And as I pray, I'm more in tune with His will. Number three, meditation is the key to successful living. How many times have you heard that? Something is the key to successful living. This is what successful living is. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to check me on this in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This is what God told Joshua. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Insofar as my brief research has been able to find, there is not another passage in the Bible that uses that wording, "then you will have good success," other than this passage, which ties that to meditating upon God's law day and night. Now, there's some people who would look at that and think that it's some sort of magic wand. If I meditate on the Bible, then there's going to be some presto, poof, change-o stuff going on, and I'll automatically, instantly be successful in everything that I do. That's not what it's all about. Again, it goes back to that first point that we observed regarding becoming what you think. The thought process, the issues of life that come forth from the heart. When I meditate upon God's will, I am far more likely to walk in the path of His will. When I walk in the path of His will, I am a recipient of His blessings, and I will succeed in those things that it is His will for me to succeed in. And as I pray in accordance with His will. And when my prayers are in keeping with His will, He answers those prayers, provides me with those things that I ask for. Let's spend just a couple of minutes on the how-to part of this. How do I meditate upon God's Word? I believe there are five of these things, and they all begin with the letter P, so they'll be easier for you to remember. Number one, in order to meditate on God's Word, picture it. Picture it in your mind. When you read a passage of Scripture, particularly something from the narrative portion of the Scripture, such as, for example, the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Read that passage. Picture it in your mind. What would it have been like to have been that woman? That woman who, incidentally, had been married 5 times and was now living with a man who was not her husband. What would it have been like to be that woman? And then to have come to the well to draw water and encounter this man whom she'd never seen before, this total stranger, and he begins to tell her the details of her life even though she's never laid eyes on him before. What would that have been like? And as you picture that scene in your mind, it'll stay with you longer. You'll begin to understand more of it, more about it. Number two, pronounce it. Say the verse out loud. Say it out loud again and again, and each time you say it, emphasize a different word and give thought to that particular word every time. You say, well, that's just a gimmick. That's exactly right. That's what it is. It has been determined that the human mind, the brain, functions very well with certain gimmicks that lead it where it needs to be going. And we're talking about the importance and the help of meditating upon God's Word. And one of the ways to do that is to use this, if you please, gimmick of pronouncing a verse and emphasizing a different word every time you say it or read it out loud. Number three, paraphrase it. We've already talked about the value of reading Scripture from different translations, reading commentaries that will help us get the meaning and the idea behind some of the passages that may be difficult to understand. This is very similar to that. Paraphrase it. Remember when you were in school and the teacher would tell you to read a story and then turn around and write it in your own words? One of the best ways to come to a better understanding is to use that method. Now, that needs to be used with a certain amount of caution. We're not out to rewrite Scripture. We're not out to revise the Bible. We're not out to say it over and write it down in a way that we like better, changing the facts or the doctrinal teaching. But many times it's helpful to paraphrase it or to put it in your own words. In fact, how many times have you asked someone, what does this passage mean? And they begin to tell you what that verse means and they put it in a little bit different terminology. Still accurately interpreting the words and yet using different phrasing. Paraphrasing. Number four. Personalize it. Put yourself in the text. Put your name in there. You want to squeeze a little bit of extra meaning out of John 3:16? where it says the whole world, put your name there. For God so loved David Phillips that he gave his only begotten son. I'm not talking about, again, a method for proclaiming the word publicly in a different way. I'm talking about a process that will help us to meditate on God's word and to get every little bit of nutrition out of it, spiritually speaking. Put it in personal terms. And then number 5, probe it. I believe the very best illustration I have heard of that point is what Brother Wendell Winkler used to do with the text that we've used in this series of study, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Perhaps you've heard Brother Winkler preach a sermon in which he discussed this text, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. He would begin at the beginning with the word all, and he would explain that word, all, not some, but all, not just a little bit, but everything, every single bit of it, every letter, every word, all of it, all Scripture. Scripture, the Holy Writings. Not a novel, not some man-made, man-devised thing, but Scripture. All Scripture is, not maybe, but is. All Scripture is given. It wasn't found, it wasn't discovered, it wasn't invented by some man, but it is given by inspiration. God breathed. Man didn't devise it, man didn't think it up. God breathed into men's minds who wrote it down. And is, not maybe, not might be, but is profitable. Profitable, bringing great benefit, providing something that cannot be obtained anywhere else. Profitable for doctrine. And on he would go with every. That's what I mean when I say probe the Scriptures. Sit down with a thesaurus. See how many different words and terms are there. What all words mean the same thing. You see, meditating upon Scripture is a very simple thing. It's a very wholesome thing. And it is a very profitable tool for study. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we hope and pray that you would do that this evening before we leave this building. Come believing in Jesus as God's Son, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. If you've done that but have wandered away, we'd like to think that we can encourage you to come back. And certainly the invitation of the Lord is like no other invitation.